is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Paul McCartney is sponsored by Burger King, BTC, Commonwealth Bank, Fidelity Bank of Bahamas, Global Learning Exchange, the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, J.S. Johnson, Marcos Pizza, NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers, Bronze Electric Motors, and Cisco Bahamas Food Services.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name's Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. Okay, so we're going to delve into BPL today. And essentially, I'm not doing this to upset anyone. And I'm not doing this to, like, stir any passions. But I'm going to say this. If all you have is your political viewpoint and no actual data, then just spare me. All right? And you're going to think, no matter what I do, you're going to think, Juan's rude, Juan's arrogant, blah, blah, blah. I don't care, right? Spare me. If you're just calling me with political nonsense and you don't actually understand how BPL operates and what is going on, then just spare me. I don't even want to get into it. If you have a cogent viewpoint of what has occurred and what has moved forward, and there are politicians involved, there are politics involved, there's no doubt about that. But if your viewpoint is just colored by PLP good, FNM bad, or FNM good, PLP bad, I don't have any use for that. You're not speaking to someone who believes in any of that. You're not speaking to someone who subscribes to any particular political philosophy. I'm just interested in what's best for the Bahamas. And I'll keep it real with you. I'm interested in what's best from what's best for me and my family and how that helps the overall Bahamas, circles back to me and my family, then I am all about it. If we're talking about who we like politically and XYZ and the rhetoric and the yada, 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 I don't buy it, okay? So here's what, I'll give you a bit of background. So I first started really digging into BPL in 2007. All right. That was when the administration changed. Okay. Light bills were favorable, but the consistency of power generation on New Providence was not. So, particularly when the summer came, but often just on GP, the lights would go out frequently, okay? And we start to understand that something must be going on. And the lights would go out for 1 hour, 2 hours, start seeing 3 hours, 4 hours, right? And eventually, BPL started what are called rolling blackouts, where there were scheduled instances of loss of power to certain areas to maintain power in other areas. So if you lived in Seabreeze, Prince Charles, etc., they gave you a schedule. That's how bad it started getting. Your electricity is going to go off from 8 p.m. to 12 a.m., all right? And then they would go to another area so that you couldn't have consistent power throughout the 24 hours of the day. you would have some power sometime, but no power at the time. And you would, and they would roll the blackouts. They were intentional blackouts, and they would roll along New Providence. And that's why they call them rolling blackouts. They've done it in many other places, unfortunately. So we started to try to figure out why. Anyway, people started to complain that there were rolling blackouts. Okay? And this all came to a head in about 2008, 2009, where people were crying bloody murder. Okay? And the government realized that something had to be done. They realized that we can't continue this. People are freaking out. It was a new administration. A new Minister of State for Public Works, who's a qualified engineer, Fenton Niemoor, God rest the dead. And the government found the need to explain what was going on. All right, why are there rolling blackouts? Why can we not keep the lights on? Why can the government not function properly with BPL? All right, and the light bills weren't nothing like nobody checked for, but the light bills weren't that bad. But the supply of electricity was terrible, okay? So the government started to explain, and I started paying attention very carefully because I was extraordinarily pissed off. I'm a man. I need a fan or some AC at night. That's just how it is, right? I don't like extreme cold, but I want to be comfortable. All right. I just spoke to Nahasha Black the other day. She was in Canada telling me how cold it was. I was like, that's what I'm trying to tell you. That's why I can't do it. Yeah, I went to Canada in August before. Around the time of my birthday, late August, I go to Canada a lot because I have family there. And at night, my cousin had to lend me his like big snow jacket, and his wife was like, "What are you doing? That's a blizzard jacket." And I was like, "I can't get warm. The cold seeps into your bones." Anyway, I digress. So I need some fan or some AC on me at night, and I need to be comfortable. And I'm there sitting 2 a.m. in the morning. Sweating bullets. I got to get up at 6 to go read the morning news. You know, I got a problem. I'm freaking out here. I can't get enough sleep. I'm sitting here sweating, you know. You go in stores. Everything's not working. Yada, yada, yada. You got to watch, see if your fridge is going to collapse and you can't get anything cool. Just a nightmare situation. You know, so the government started to explain what was going on. The government said, listen, here's the deal. We are broke. Okay. We are unable to provide money without the assistance of the government for fuel. Okay. And we're unable to do regular maintenance on our generators. So the generators, to simplify it, shut up, Siri. The generators, to simplify it, at our power plants are basically just huge engines, right? And you pump fuel into them, the engines go, and they create electricity. All right, that's the simple version. The BPL was unable, sorry, BEC was unable to afford fuel to power the engines. They would have a credit facility that eventually dried up because they had a cash flow crisis. The government had to step in and provide tens of millions of dollars in fuel. This 15 years ago. Let me know if any of this sounds familiar to you. BPL was broke. Sorry, BPL didn't come about until 2015. BEC was broke. BEC couldn't keep the lights on. BEC couldn't maintain its equipment. BEC needed millions and millions and millions of dollars in government subvention. This was 15 years ago. All right? The Prime Minister of Fenton Niemoor came to the public. It was Prime Minister Ingram. Came to the public and explained. Let me know if any of this sounds familiar. Explain that because of a cash crisis at BPL, at BEC, sorry if I'm using them interchangeably, the government was going to have to raise rates at BEC. They're called tariffs. Because of the cash crisis, the BPL's not only flat broke, but deep, swimming in a sea of red. Okay? BEC is going to have to now pass the cost of fuel on to consumers. Because BEC is flat broke, the government is going to now have to pay for street lighting. So why did BEC rates need to go up? Why did BEC need to stop paying for street lighting? And why did BEC need to start passing along fuel to customers? Okay, 5 years prior to that, and people are going to get mad at me, and you're going to talk about, oh, because you're wearing your PLP and F&M pum-pum shorts, right? 5 years prior to that, the Christie administration came into power. BPL was a profitable entity, required some government subvention, but nothing to scream about, all right? Bradley Roberts was Minister of Works. Al Jarrett was chairman of BPL. They are both deceased. God rest the dead. Again, the Christie administration wanted to alleviate the burden of high power bills on the public, right? Which is a noble idea. Again, let me know if any of this sounds familiar. They wanted to alleviate the burden of high power bills on the public. They looked at BEC and they said, BEC's making lots of money, all right? It didn't need the assistance of the government in any measurable aspect back then. Certainly nothing like today. BEC had good credit. BEC had credit facilities with fuel suppliers, with oil suppliers, all right? BEC was able to borrow hundreds of millions of dollars. It was fine. It was in the black. In order to reduce the burden of high power bills on the public, the Christie administration, and you don't have to go dip and dive and look under bushes for any of this information. This is all in the Hansard of the House of Assembly. All right? So the Christie administration lowered the tariffs, okay? The rates that you... Shut up, Siri. Jesus wept, man. Anybody even ask? Are you... What if I was trying to sneak up on somebody? I don't, you know? Anyway. So, the government lowered the tariffs. Now, how BPL works, and I don't necessarily agree with it, is that the more you use, the more they charge. BEC. All right? I'll tell you why I'm saying BEC and not BPL. I'll explain to you. I'll tell you a story about Minister of Works and Public Utilities Philip Brave Davis here in a moment. The more you use, the more you're charged, okay? So let me give you an example. Because I want to explain to you what it is where they're talking about kilowatt hours and XYZ, right? I want you to understand what it is they're talking about. So I'm pulling it up here. Hold on. Okay, so if you use 1 kilowatt hour to 200 kilowatt hours per month, you are now charged 10.95 cents per kilowatt hour. If you use 201 to 800 kilowatt hours a month, you are charged at 11.95 cents per kilowatt hour. If you use over 800 kilowatt hours per month, you are charged 14.95 cents per kilowatt hour. Okay? You're now charged VAT. There was no VAT back in the day. Those were the heady days when we had no VAT. It was a glorious age. So anyway, the Christie administration said, we're going to lower those tariffs. Those are called tariffs, okay? We're going to lower these tariffs. We're not going to allow BPL to pass along the cost of fuel. BPL is going to absorb the cost of fuel. Keep in mind, we're talking about around $300 million a year. BPL is going to absorb the cost of fuel. And BPL is also going to pay for street lighting because this stuff was factored into the previous bills. So BPL immediately started losing tens of millions of dollars. Okay? They really did too much. So BPL cannot afford all the fuel and the lower tariffs. So every year, these huge engines that are generators at BPL, think of it as a car engine, if you will, require maintenance. Think of it as a two-story tall car engine the size of a nice, comfortable house. A two-story tall business complex, if you will. That's what each engine is looking like. So the engines were costing tens of millions of dollars, and you got to maintain the engine, okay? They're built to last, but you got to maintain them. Parts, wear and tear, they run consistently, all right? So what was supposed to happen is every year they have a schedule and they take certain engines offline during periods that are not peak periods. It means they need all the power BC can generate. And they have people come in from the companies they bought the engines from, and they have local help from BEC workers too. But they have to fly people in. Like if I buy this, let's say, Hitachi, right? And I buy a huge engine from them. Every other year or so, well, usually yearly, Hitachi will send a team of people down here, right? Two or three people. And they will send, you will order new parts, right? To replace all the parts that were wearing and tearing. And they would strip the entire engine. If you could imagine, like I said, a two-story, reasonably a modest office complex, these engines are the size of, right? They have to build stairs and platforms around them and scaffolding for people to access them. They would come and strip down the engine entirely, drain it, clean it, refinish it to where it's like new, put it all back together, component by component, and then bring it back online. And then the engine could run without problems for another year, whatever, without any sort of issue. All right. So when you hear them talking about they have old generators, some of that's true, but the main issue is they're not maintained. Okay? Because I had, before I got into an accident, let me shut up about it. Anyway, I had a Montero, Mitsubishi Montero. Like I'm going to buy a truck for the next vehicle I buy, but if I were going to buy another Jeep, I'd buy a Montero. And this Montero, I got it maintained. It ran like clockwork. I still see Monteros on the road today, and I wish I had my Montero. If you maintain the engines, they will run for decades. All right? Each maintenance of each engine could cost up to a few million dollars. There are numerous engines that need maintenance. So we're talking $30, $40 million a year that you need for engine maintenance. When the Christie administration lowered the tariffs, and I ain't here to argue no politics with you, I'm telling you what BEC has said, what BPL has said, what the documents they've prepared for the Parliament, the Ministry of Finance, for the rate reduction bond. We could go through it. I'm not asking you questions. This period, BEC lost hundreds of millions of dollars, essentially. Had no money for maintenance, could not keep up with paying the fuel. You ain't gonna ask me. Ask Lang. He was Minister of State for Finance. Ask Lang if the government ever had to come pay for BEC's fuel. Okay? Because they just couldn't afford it. So, the engines couldn't be maintained, so the engines failed. They had to be taken, they weren't even taken offline voluntarily, they were failing. And that's why we kept having power outages. Now here's the issue. If certain engines are failing, let's say at Clifton, then the engines at Blue Hills have to pick up the slack. And what happens when you can't take those engines offline? Right? You have a problem where they're overworked and now those engines fall apart. All right? So it's just a vicious cycle with BEC. So Ingram and Fentimore came to the Parliament and told the nation, your BEC bill is going to go up. Now, this little show they had yesterday, it wasn't like that, all right? So, and I know this because I participated. So BEC went on a nationwide tour, and it was the first time that the nation got a frank and clear understanding of what was going on financially with BEC. BEC conducted a nationwide town hall tour to explain what was happening, to explain to the people in the Family Islands what is going on. By the way, a big part of why BEC and BPL still loses money, and you want to do this because you want to treat people properly, but it's not cheap, is because we ship fuel and maintain power plants on Family Islands. So you can imagine shipping fuel from New Providence to, let's say, Mayaguana is a huge distance, and you have to pay to have that fuel shipped. Then you got to pay to put people there, and you got to pay and keep those generators going X, Y, Z. So Ingram came to the Parliament and said, we're going to raise the rates. He debated it, added disclosure, raised the rates. He said, we're going to have BEC pass the cost of fuel on to customers. This is before IRCA. There was still the Public Utilities Corporation. So now your bill included a fuel charge. They said the government will now pick up the cost of street lighting. I want to say street lights cost about $10 million a year. So the government's paying BPL, BEC to power the street lights, and the government's has maintenance contracts to maintain them, right? Why they don't have solar, street lighting all across New Providence, couldn't tell you. So the power bills went up. BEC started making more money, but they were still having critical problems in keeping the lights on. The damage was so severe, the financial damage was so severe that, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot one other component. So because BPL had no money, BEC had no money, BEC could not properly maintain and upgrade its transmission and distribution system, okay? So if you see transmission and distribution are all the substations, all the power lines, along power poles, transformers, that's transmission and distribution. The plants generate the power, and then BEC transmits and distributes the power, okay? One of the key things that BEC was talking about, remember I touched on this yesterday, one of the key things that BEC was talking about at the time when Michael Moss was general manager was LNG. Now, remember y'all nailed Leslie Miller to a cross for even talking to the LNG people, yes? We could have had LNG at least 15 years ago, possibly 20. But anyway, one of the things was switching to LNG, all right? Because the process of, so the heavy fuel oil is bad. It's poison. It's still in the ground out at Clifton. You have to heat the oil up in order to put it in the engine. And that's a whole nother process. You create all sorts of sludge, all sorts of waste product, X, Y, Z. So we wanted liquefied natural gas. I don't have time to explain how it all works for you, but you get liquefied, you get natural gas out of the United States, which is still fossil fuel. You cool it, freeze it. Well, it doesn't freeze. You cool it to the point that it turns to liquid. All right? Then you can transport it because you can't transport the gas. You cool it to the point it turns to liquid. You put it on a boat. You bring it over here. And then you need a regasification facility. You have to turn the liquid back into gas in order to burn it. All right? So one of the big things we were talking about was building a regasification facility here. And getting a power plant that could burn natural gas. All right? That was the talk back then. And there were talks on going to get that happen. And then the election came and Christie them came into power. Okay? And the story picks up in 2015. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
You do coffee your way.
Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Bopex Barbie here to tell you all about the Live Fit for Fall promotion brought to you by US Beef and Celsius Essential Energy Drink. During the months of October and November, when you shop at Super Value and Solomon's locations in Nassau, look out for the featured cut sticker on high-quality U.S. beef. Purchase that cut along with 3 cans of Celsius energy drink, and you'll be entered to win a brand new air fryer. Visit BahamaFood.com for a list of participating stores and promotion details. Excited to have you join me and my fit foodies as we live fit for fall.
Buying a home is one of the most important investment decisions you'll ever make, so it's best to insure your home for the full replacement value. If your home is underinsured, the condition of average could apply and reduce the amount you'll receive if you make a claim. Ask your insurance agent about underinsurance and condition of average before you purchase or renew your home insurance policy. For more information, visit www.icb.gov.bs. This message was brought to you by the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas.
You just got bumped up. Bundled fiber customers enjoy up to 3 times the speed increase for free. That means if you have the Extreme 100 Plus Talk 24/7 bundle, or the Extreme 100 TV Max bundle, or even the Extreme 150 Plus Talk 24/7 Plus TV Max bundle, your internet speed just went to 300 megabits per second. Nothing to do. Just keep doing you.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
Opa! Burger King Nassau is bringing you the fresh Greek flavors you love done the BK way. Come and enjoy the new Greek Whopper with a delicious combination of tzatziki sauce, feta cheese, red onions, and refreshing cucumber on our signature flame-grilled patty. Or go Greek with a plant-based Whopper or crispy chicken sandwich. All three delicious sandwiches are topped off with lettuce and tomato and made the Burger King way. Bring your friends and experience the Greek Whopper lineup at BK Nassau, where taste is king.
Here we go. J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always, you're always calling me.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution. I will get to your text message and everything in a moment. And I can't go through the whole BEC, BPL story with you. But I want to just kind of lay the groundwork so that you understand that this ain't no new thing. So when someone comes to the house and go, BPL is broken, BPL is on the precipice of financial disaster. Y'all been talking that talk for years and years and years. And y'all have plan after plan after plan. Yet BPL's still broke. BPL still on the precipice of financial disaster. Years and years and years, y'all been saying the same thing, but no problem. Anyway, let me backtrack before I pick up in 2015, just so I give full disclosure about what happened during the F&M. So F&M had a good plan, in my opinion, right? Let's look at regasification. Let's go ahead and put the rates up for a while. Or put the rates up anyway, and hopefully we get a reliable electricity. We're looking at lowering the fuel charge, because when they put the fuel charge in, when they go, okay, instead of buying this heavy fuel, instead of buying diesel for Blue Hills, let's go ahead and get LNG. It's much cheaper, and the fuel charge will offset the higher rates. Never happened, okay? But BPL was, BEC was still in pretty good recovery. Then, and I just call it like it is. All right, don't come to me with your F&M pom-pom shorts on, right? Then, in a grave error, which he's repeated for some reason, Prime Minister Hubert Ingram and the Cabinet of Bahamas directed BPL to reconnect the lights for 6,000 consumers who had fallen into arrears to the point that they were disconnected. Now, why do I say that that was a grave error? Because I don't want people to have electricity. Because I want the poor people to suffer. No. It was a grave error because Of the 6,000 people that Ingram ordered reconnected, that Ingram allowed to pay, if I recall correctly, he ordered reconnected and then said you had to come in and make a payment arrangement. This one, I believe, was 25%. I believe. I'll have to double check. But anyway, 6,000 people were ordered reconnected. All right. BEC did it. 6 months later, 5,200 of the people who were reconnected had not paid anything on their bill. BPL was like, and it took them up to a year, I think. BPL was like, we can't sustain this because they're now using more electricity and not paying for it. We're burning more fuel to keep their power on, and they're not paying for it. So we're, again, falling deeply into a sea of red ink. They went ahead and said, okay, we can't keep this up, yada, yada, yada. So a lot of disconnections happened again. And then Ingram did a second reconnection exercise. And my thing is, who's telling you to reconnect these people? Who's telling you that's in the wider public interest? Because you're reconnecting them. They're not interested in paying. What you should have done was what they were looking at previously, was let these people prepay for electricity. Let you have a meter. You go put your card in, whatever. You get $100 and you use that. And that's what it is. But to suggest the power company should provide you with free electricity, it ain't reality. All right? Because you're compromising the entire system for a minority of people. So BPL has 100,000 customers. It now has more than that. It has over 110,000 customers. But yet you compromise the collapse of the system over 6,000 households, and you can't do that. You got to consider the wider majority and figure out other ways to help these people. Fenton Newmore went on an energy-efficient light bulb campaign. That's one thing he did. So the FNM did give a good effort to save BPL, but for political considerations, humanitarian considerations, whatever you want to call them, they still harmed BEC. All right? It was still not financially sustainable. All right? So multiple administrations have done damage. Even when there are good intentions to try and save it, they've done damage. Now, Al Jarrod would fight you in the street for what I'm talking now, right? I don't know what it is with these people in public positions. They have such fragile egos. Maybe I do too. I don't know. But people talk about me. I don't freak out. He chased me down. And Al Jarrod was a big, big dude, breathing all hard. We're at fish fry. I just minded my business getting the conch salad. Years and years ago. Al Jarrod's been gone a long time. God rest him. Chase me down. Your reporters. Al Jarrod was kind of old school. He was like super old school PLP. Like journalists were either like working with the government or at the enemy. You know what I mean? If you didn't align, you and there's a reason you're the enemy. It's just your uncle twice removed. Don't like the PLP, and you da 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 da. So you know it was hard to reason with him. But we've had successive administrations. Claim they want the best for BEC, but still, BEC, let's sing the mantra together. BEC is broke. BEC is on the brink of financial collapse. BEC is unable to sustain its own debt. I left out all the parts where the government refinance hundreds of millions of dollars of BEC's debt, because we ain't got time for all that today. All right? And this government just went and got another loan for $250 million of BEC's debt. I'll tell you what Brave Davis them did, which was a plan, but I'll pick this up in 2015. And we could talk about BEC for all day and another couple of days for you to explain the depth of what's going on. So when everyone comes there, we're trying to fix it. We're trying to ameliorate the problem. I see. So again, BEC broke. BEC can't pay its own bills for fuel. BEC has no credit. BEC can't service its own debt. BC is on the brink of financial collapse. And the last one, ladies and gentlemen, repeat it with me. BEC can't keep the lights on. Does any of that sound familiar? So all of that we heard yesterday and today. Yesterday from several people, today from, again, from the Minister of Works. Let me know if it sounds familiar. BEC's broke. BEC's on the brink of financial collapse. You haven't, you didn't remember that about Desmond Bannister, Minnis, XYZ. And all this time, they've been getting new generation for BEC. They've been renting generation for BEC. They built a new power plant at BEC. Now Alfred Sayers is telling us, well, they didn't have the boiler to heat up the heavy fuel oil to burn at the Wärtsilä plant, so therefore we got to raise your light bills for the next year. That sound like that make any sense for you? They had a boiler to heat up the oil, so for a year your light bills got to go up? This sounds like reason to people? Seriously, I rate Alfred Sayers. Love him. Does that sound like that makes any sense to you? Let me know. The reason that we our fuel charge has to go up, what do they call it? The glide path strategy? That's cute. Did y'all workshop that? That's like an investment in an aviation term. The reason our light bills have to go up for the next year, this is their rationale, is because the power plant that cost $100 million that they took the money to upgrade family islands and transmission and distribution networks. Wire lights still go out partly because the power plant y'all spent $100 million plus on, brand new now, isn't burning heavy fuel oil because the boiler isn't working or isn't there. He didn't get into the deep specifics about it. I'd love to get deeper into it. Please, someone from BPL, call me. Help me unravel the mystery of why there's no boiler for the $100 million power plant. Would love to know that we're also paying Wärtsilä to run. I'm so deeply interested why that's the case. Why our light bills have to go up for the next year because the power plant you spent over $100 million on and that you continue to pay somebody else to run, the company that built it, there's not a boiler to put heavy fuel oil in that power plant. And so we got to pay. I really would like to understand. Anyway, we got to go to a break. We'll pick this up on the other side. Stay tuned.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns, where they hiding the drugs, who shoot who part of which gang, or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles.
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what are we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
You do coffee your way.
Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online. Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Discover the Global Learning Exchange, an innovative network that's making world-class higher education flexible, affordable, and accessible to Bahamians. Ready to earn an internationally accredited degree? GLX is now enrolling students. Pursue a bachelor's or master's degree, or become Microsoft or IBM certified. Call GLX at 603-0713, go to globallearningexchange.com/Bahamas, or visit GLX on Mackey Street today.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Revolutionary on Guardian Radio. I'm Juan McCartney. Good to have you with us. We're talking BPL. We're getting to today. Don't worry. Well, we're moving back and forth. I think it's okay. We're going to talk about 2015, which was a watershed moment, which was when BPL was created, in a moment. But first, let's do your text. It says, I still have my Montero one from 98. Bought it brand new and it runs excellent. I know, right? I had a 2002. I so wish I still had it. It was lovely. I had a Blazer. You know, I had a 96 two-door Blazer S10. Was it 96 or 95? When they still had kind of the square design and not the roundish design they moved to. Blazer, love that, man. I had that on some big old tires. Had me a system in it. Remember, you used to put the bass in the back trunk? They still do that? Well, you can buy a car. I had them. I don't know how y'all hear yourself. You can buy a car now and they have good audio systems in it. But back then, you used to, like, this is like 2000s, the aughts. You like put yourself a nice amplifier, attach it to a nice box with a subwoofer going on in it, have some surround sound going on. Lord have mercy. All right. BTC bundle customers, you just got a free speed bump. That's right. The fastest and most reliable fiber internet in the Bahamas is now up to 3 times faster for free. Here's how we're bumping up your current speeds. A, if you have the Extreme 100 Plus Talk 24/7 bundle, your speeds are going from 100 megabytes per second to 300 megabytes per second. If you have the Extreme 100 Plus TV Max bundle, you're going from 100 megabytes per second to 300 megabytes per second. And if you have the Extreme 150 plus Talk 24/7 plus TV Max bundle, you're jumping from 150 megabytes per second to 300 megabytes per second. Nothing to do. Just keep doing you. Brought to you by BTC. All right. You know, I saw a Blazer online, I got to get into it. I saw like a 94 or 95 S10 two-door, S10 two-door Blazer. What I'm talking about specifically. I saw it online a few years ago, and then where's Michael Alakita? I want to blame him. They put They put the environmental levy and customs duties on cars over a certain age because they're trying to be environmentally conscious, like way up. And I was like, Hakeem, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I guess you should have got that in before. I was like, but y'all don't tell nobody y'all about to raise customs duties and environmental levy. Anyway. Do some more of your text messages. It says BPL is taking advantage of the public and the Bahamian people for over 5 decades. The directors, past and present, God will deal with them because it's a disgrace that they're producing these high bills on the poor citizens of our country. BPL interrupts your power and slightly damages your equipment. Continuous load shedding. BPL is unfair and God will deal with them. Good afternoon, Juan. Don't know if you said it before, but what made you cross the aisle from Alive to BTC? No. My cell phone service is with Alive, and I'm incredibly pleased with that. Cable Bahamas I had in my home, and their service was not satisfactory for many years. And I switched over to BTC Fiber, and I've been very happy with it. We had a business relationship with Cable Bahamas, so I was not going to throw them under the bus, but BTC service home-wise, if you have BTC Fiber, no one's paying me to say this. My experience is what it is, and if I tell people if something is good, I'm going to say it on air. If something's terrible, I'll try my best to reserve that, and I particularly wasn't going to say that because of our relationship with Cable Bahamas. But BTC home service is far, far superior, I find, than the alternative. That. Far superior. If it's fiber, I haven't had any experience other than fiber. We have fiber and it's fantastic. But cell phone, I still rock Alive. I'm still down with Alive. I love it. Love Alive. So this man is a disaster. We could have looked at his treatment of Cat Island as Exhibit A and we would have known what we were in for. We got consumed with lockdowns and other emotional stuff. Ah, well. Boy, you still, y'all still hanging on to this menace, eh? Boy. Y'all hang on to that till the last nail knock, eh? That's okay. No problem. It was the lockdowns. Tell yourself that. It's as serious as a PLP. Clearly. Clearly. Says, please tell me while we're spending millions on that expensive fuel when our location gives us easily 300 days of pure sunshine, when are we going to explore solar on an industrial scale, or even if they put turbines in the ocean, we can generate electricity from that? You can generate electricity from ocean turbines. If we have the threshold for all that, I don't know. I couldn't tell you why we're spending all that expensive fuel. You got to ask the government of the Bahamas. Why we're using diesel other than heavy fuel oil, A. Why we don't have an LNG capacity yet, B. Why we haven't invested in solar heavily, C. They said that the talks with solar are in, what, advanced, late stage? Mind you. Y'all was talking that last Christmas. So, you know. It's a little difficult to understand, like that, you know. Well, they were talking that earlier this year, maybe not. Maybe it wasn't Christmas. They were right around the corner with solar. We'll see. Maybe they'll do it. Juan, please tell us what Pamela Hill was hired to do and what happened to the Godzilla engines. Oh, hold on. You're getting ahead of yourself. I'm about to get into that right now. Right now. Says, you seen those new LED street lights that freak out and strobe at night, Juan? No, I don't go out at night. I don't know what y'all do. I don't know what happens. It's rare. This says, on the highway by Town Cinema. Certainly, I don't go that way. By Town Cinema, they have like 3 in a row strobing. Guess they just ain't gonna be fixed now with these BPL changes. Hope none of the drivers or car passengers have epilepsy. Boy, I haven't seen them. I don't know what happens at night. When was the last time I was out after dark? Like outside of within walking distance of my home. I can't remember. Oh, I do remember. Yeah, my cousin had a baby shower. Yeah, that's the last time. All right. This is BTC fiber may be great, but apparently they lack the ability to run their fiber past Gambier. Yeah, I don't know who all has fiber. I mean, they should heavily invest in that. I'll certainly tell of my experience. It's fantastic. Anyway, let me shut up. Okay, so let's talk about... So in 2012, Perry Christie won another term in office, and Philip Brave Davis became Deputy Prime Minister, and also Minister of Public Works. Okay. So BEC, when Christie came to office, and 2012, and Leslie Miller became executive chairman. 2012, 2013, 2014, BC was, have we memorized it? Let's repeat the familiar chorus. BC was broke. BC couldn't pay its bills. BC couldn't service its own debt, even after the government refinanced hundreds of millions of dollars of debt for BEC. BEC couldn't keep the lights on. All right? Familiar story? So, the Christie administration came up with a plan. Everybody got a plan. Which is good. You got to have a plan. So I'll just read to you a bit of an article. This explains this. Okay? So... Bahamas Power and Light is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Bahamas Electricity Corporation. It was established by the Electricity Act 2015 to secure a safe, least cost, reliable, and environmentally sustainable supply of electricity within the Bahamas. It was created to oversee and monitor the electricity supply system within the Bahamas, and to establish plans for the modernization and development of the electricity supply system in the Bahamas. That was in 2015. Let's look at what's been accomplished since then on this list. Secure a safe, least cost, reliable, and environmentally sustainable supply of electricity within the Bahamas. Okay? So they've done none of those things. Maybe you could talk safety. Excuse me. Oversee and monitor the electricity supply system within the Bahamas. I guess you could say that they do that. And to establish plans for the modernization and development of the electricity supply system in the Bahamas. Now, if I'm a lawyer and I'm trying to play semantics and parse words, yeah, BPL established a plan for the modernization and development of the electricity supply system in the Bahamas. It didn't happen. It didn't do it. But Power Secure, which was hired to run BPL, did produce a plan. Okay? So let's talk about what was said when the Electricity Act 2015 was being debated in the House of Assembly. All right. I'm sorry. Let me back up. So when BPL was created, Power Secure, a company out of the United States, was contracted to produce a business plan and run BPL. So Power Secure got $2 million a year. It also had a bonus structure of up to 150% of the base fee it was paid annually, depending on certain performance indicators. Power Secure was also paid $1 million to produce a business plan for BPL. Okay? PowerSecure came on in 2016. Then Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Works and Utilities, Philip Brave Davis, said, quote, "The Bahamas can now, with PowerSecure, enter the next phase of its energy sector transformation." This was your prime minister. Six years ago in the House of Assembly, "The Bahamas can enter the next phase of its energy sector transformation." PowerSecure got, it was getting $2 million a year, $1 million for the business plan, bonus structure of up to 150% of the $2 million. The executives had massive perks beyond what any body in executive management at BEC ever had. Let's listen to what then Deputy Prime Minister Philip Davis said in the House of Assembly. Again, you don't have to say I lie in or let nobody tell you no fairy tale. This is all on the record and the Hansard of the House of Assembly. Audio, video, transcript available to the public. Davis told the House, quote, listen if this all sounds familiar, quote, "For many years now, consumers have had to deal with extremely high electrical bills and far from satisfactory services from an inefficient and debt-ridden Bahamas Electricity Corporation. This agreement is another step in creating a new, vibrant, efficient, and lower-cost utility provider." Davis said, and I quote, listen carefully to me, please. I'm quoting the then Deputy Prime Minister, who's now the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance. He said, quote, "As we are all too aware, BEC is a completely unsustainable operation and unable to continue to operate under its existing structure. In particular, BEC is close to being insolvent without the support of a government guarantee. Our country's foreign currency reserves have been depleted to the tune of over $300 million a year in the purchase of imported fossil fuels for generation and other equipment, services, and supplies." End quote. One of the ways for BPL to be returned to financial stability was to introduce a rate reduction bond. So a rate reduction bond, in its very simplest terms, is a bond that BPL puts out on the market with the approval of the government on the international market. Could be local market too, but they were looking for the international market. That is guaranteed by the government's power to impose taxes, tariffs, levies on the public. So the government would pass by law that the bond would be paid back by BPL's consumers, whatever that would look like cost-wise, through a fee that goes on everybody's light bill. So you see the tariff there, you see the fuel charge there. Whenever there's a rate reduction bond that's successful, you're going to now see a rate reduction bond charge, RRB. And they're going to calculate that on a monthly basis to guarantee payback of this bond. All right? Included in that bond was going to be $324 million of debt that BEC and BPL had incurred that they were going to refinance, that they're paying out the keister to service, and the government has to help them with that. Keep in mind, the government assumed under Ministem $250 million of BPL's debt. All right? And the Davis administration early this year borrowed hundreds of millions of dollars to refinance BPL's debt. And the rate reduction bond would have also included about $200 million for transmission and distribution upgrades. The plan for BPL was also to decouple Family Islands from the main operations of BPL, okay? So BPL was to become mainly a transmission distribution company. They were looking at entering agreements for people to come build power plants, New Fortress, Shell, et cetera, and they would purchase the electricity from them. They would transmit and distribute, and BPL would bill customers, et cetera. The goal was to get BPL out of the power generation business. The goal was to have a rate reduction bond to get rid of the hundreds of millions of dollars of BPL's debt so it could have creditworthiness on its own. It does not still to this day. And the goal is to upgrade the transmission and distribution network on New Providence. That's why your lights go out. All right, well, generation was why your lights went out previously. Now we're being told it's transmission and distribution. Remember when everybody said you wouldn't have any generation problems? When they built the Wärtsilä plant, that we wouldn't have to rent generation anymore. We're still renting generation. Still have the Wärtsilä plant. And bought a $25 million GE turbine for Blue Hills. And now we're renting generation from whatever the Shell company is as well. Right? So keep in mind, let me know if you've heard this. David said BEC's close to being insolvent. It's an unsustainable operation. Unable to continue to operate under its existing structure. Rate reduction bond never happened under the Davis administration. Last administration, we could talk about the disasters that occurred there. Rate reduction bond, again, did not happen. BPL to this day, still broke, still insolvent. Right? Near insolvency, if you want to say that. Can't service its own debt. Can't pay its own bills. Cannot keep the lights on. We're going to take a break and we'll talk about where we are now. Well, we'll talk about the hedge. And then we'll talk about where we are today. All right? Take a break. Stay tuned.
Another wave is coming, but this time it's a tropical heat wave. Marco's Pizza is bringing you two new wing flavors, guaranteed to spice up your summer. Just wing it and indulge in our Jamaican jerk and mango habanero flavors. 10 pieces boneless wings for only $13.75 and bone in for only $16.15. We are bringing you the heat all summer long. Try our new Jamaican jerk or mango habanero wings today. Make every day a wing day. Marco's Pizza, every store. Every day, the Italian way.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller. Until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. I don't want to run out of time, and I don't want to skip over the Menace administration. Y'all tell me I always bash the Menace administration. I've explained the Menace administration, BPL. Maybe not everybody caught it. The Menace administration fired PowerSecure for being in breach of contract. I believe that happened at the end of 2017, near the end of 2017. Then the Menace administration, the executive, fell out with the then board of BPL. Desmond Bannister went and made many, many, many very strange, to say the least, statements about the board and about BPL and about what led to the fact that BPL still could not keep the lights on. There was a massive fire at Clifton in September of 2018. I have the entire report from it, the table of the National Assembly, but I had that before that. When I made the contents of the report public, it was the week that Dorian hit, so it got buried. But it just is a study in negligence. So the fire took out, it destroyed a $30 million generator and then damaged beyond capacity to be used until it was significantly repaired, another $30 million generator. These assets were insured. BPL has assets insured at a value of now over $1 billion. I'd have to double check that, but in 2018-19, BPL owned assets insured at up to $1 billion. Keep in mind that does not include all the land BPL owns, et cetera. Okay. There was a massive fire at Clifton. It was because BPL's personnel were using untraditional measures to bring the engine back online, and the engine was ordered back online in a manner that was not sanctioned by the manufacturers, okay? A fire ensued, burned down the generator where the fire started, gutted the station. It was station C. I gotta double check my notes. Anyway, and badly damaged the next generator. Lights kept going out, right? Lights were going out then, and that's why they were trying to bring that generator back on. That generator needed maintenance, as did the other generator, because BPL still didn't have the money to maintain the blooming equipment, okay? There was a fire. The new board that had just been gotten rid of a few months ago, they had secured financing, much to everyone's surprise, that was BPL's to pay for by itself without a government guarantee that I'm aware of. They had secured financing for the upgrade of transmission and distribution systems and for the upgrade of some family island systems. And BPL's board spoke with Shell, who they were in talks with, and Shell recommended that they go ahead and talk to Wärtsilä because Wärtsilä had engines that were ready to be shipped and they could build another power plant. So it took $100 million plus out of what was needed for transmission and distribution upgrades, et cetera, and they used it to build the Wärtsilä power plant, okay? Now, and I'm not even dwelling too deeply on Menace them, not just because I don't want to hear y'all go, y'all don't like Menace, but just because I want to be able to get to where we are today. You would remember, all right, that when lights were going out, Menace said he's going to come save everybody. This was before Dorian hit and the plan shifted, right? Lights were going out, Menace said, you're going to save everybody. We're never going to have a generation problem again, all right? From BPL, because we're going to have more than enough generation to supply the needs for New Providence. Yes? They applauded everyone. Because they built it so fast, and it was going to be the savior of BPL, all right? The cry was, we're dealing with decades-old equipment, even though these engines were not 50 years old, as they were talking about. We're dealing with, Station A. Station A. we're going to have 132 megawatts of power, right? Peak capacity around 230, 260. We're going to have 132 megawatts of power. It's more than enough power we need. They're tri-fuel engines. We're looking forward to the future, right? Tri-fuel means they burn three different types of fuel. They burn heavy fuel oil, otherwise known as Bunker C, a.k.a. poison. They burn diesel, ADO, and they also can burn LNG, right? When they brought the Wärtsilä engines online, by the way, they were burning HFO, heavy fuel oil. So now you tell me that's not possible and that's why our lights bill's got to go up. Okay. I'm not buying that one. So sorry. And then BPL had a plan to get Shell to build an LNG plant, right? We explained how LNG works. Shell provides LNG. They'll bring it here. They'll build a regasification facility. They'll build the LNG plant. The public will have a chance to own some of the new plant that Shell's going to buy, XYZ. Big plans, right? So there's a new rate reduction bond that's going to right-size BPL. It's going to make it make sense. Remember these terms that float around? Insolvency, right-size, right? That you've been hearing for about 20 years now almost. Okay? Which should outline to you that perhaps the government may not be the best people to be in the power generation business. It started off as something that was a necessity. It needed probably to be in government hands. By now, it's something that should be privatized. And it's not a complete apples to apples, but Grand Bahama has a private power company, and their service is solid, all right? And Grand, by the way, Emera, all this talk we hear about, oh, the hedge and it don't work and all the Emera has a hedge in place for, I think, till 2027. At 10.5 cents per fuel per kilowatt hour. 10.5 cents per fuel per kilowatt hour, for fuel per kilowatt hour. All right? So all this talk like, no, it can't be done. Nobody did understood hedging. And let me say this. And so here's what actually the Minnis administration did. And this was a good thing the Minnis administration did. They decided, it was the midst of the pandemic, fuel prices were at all-time low. Let's lock in a facility that allows us to say, with the fuel sellers, we're going to buy at this rate. We're going to buy at this rate no matter how low it goes, no matter how high it goes. This is our rate, and this is what we're locked in at. All right? And they maintained the hedge for at least a year and a half. All right? Now, when you listen to your parliamentarians talk, they speak about, and your political people who don't know what they're talking about, they speak about the hedge as if you're high school chemistry and economics clubs got together to propose what's happening. And they speak about the hedge as if children put it in place and we went out in the open market kind of lollygagging with pigtails cutting up, right? Like we don't know what we're doing. That's the message you get from this administration. The hedge was executed by buffoons. Only a buffoon, a complete idiot, would buy a hedge facility that didn't account for fuel prices going up. That is the express purpose of it. That you will pay at this particular rate, and people say, "Great, I'll see that. Am I lose money on it? Am I make money on it? We'll see." That's the hedge. All right. Only a moron would invest in a hedge facility that didn't take into account fluctuations in the market. That is the express purpose of it. It was locked in at 10.5 cents per kilowatt hour. They had projected if they kept it up, they could keep it locked in no matter where the oil prices went. At around 10.5 to 11.5 cents per kilowatt hour through 2024, the Minnis administration. Now, you're going to say, they're speaking as if children did it, and you're going to say, the Minnis administration is full of geniuses. Here's how the hedge facility came about. The Inter-American Development Bank, who is not faultless by any means, but again, I don't think there's any intelligent contradiction of the notion that these are economic experts and subject matter experts in their field who are employed and working with the Inter-American Development Bank. All right? The Inter-American Development Bank said to the government of the Bahamas, we have a service, all right? It's a bank. They offer services for a price, okay? They lend you money, offer services, et cetera, for different projects, development, X, Y, Z. You got to pay. They said, we have a service we think may benefit you. We would like to engage in a facility, help the Bahamas government and BPL engage in a facility that could help them lock in oil prices in the medium term, possibly long term. The government of the Bahamas said, great, we'll take it. Here's how it works. Experts in finance, oil production, energy consumption, power generation at the IDB help BPL with all of its data about all of its processes determine what they need to purchase the fuel at and what type of fuel they need to purchase at. They were doing it on a quarterly basis. Why they didn't do it longer, I don't know. Experts, right? They, along with BPL, compose a paper that explains in minute detail what they are doing. They take it, BPL then sends it to the Ministry of Finance. Because it is a program entered into by the government of the Bahamas, the Ministry of Finance, with the IDB, it requires Ministry of Finance approval. Every hedge request that BPL had put forward before the September 16th, 2021 election was approved by the Ministry of Finance. I'm gonna allow you, anyone at the Ministry of Finance, to call me on air live and tell me I am wrong, I don't know what I'm talking about, I'm an idiot, I'm out of my depth. Call me on air, call me and tell me, and I will apologize to all of you. Every hedge request from BPL that they did in conjunction with the IDB that was sent to the Ministry of Finance prior to the September 16, 2021 election was approved. That's why you had your 10.5 cents rate locked in from July through January. All right? The request was not approved after the government changed. There was another request made several months later. That was not approved. When BPL looked at it around January, and the former CEO could attest to this, BPL said, we've missed this window because oil prices are starting to rise now. All right? We've missed the window to lock in at lower rates. But if we do this now, we can lock in not at 10.5 cents per kilowatt hour, about 13.5 cents per kilowatt hour. All right? And we're not getting the full and frank details of all this from this administration. I don't say that from a totally pointless point of view. I'm saying when you hear them not giving you details, when they say, I don't want to get into all that, there's a reason. When they locked it, so what we're being told is that they did not approve that particular request by BPL. CEO gets terminated. All right? At the time, this was February 28th, this year, that the BPL CEO had sent out the statement, government ordered the statement recalled. BPL said, the CEO said, if we don't do this now, it is going to be much higher in the future. If we don't do it now. Alfred Sayers said he had that statement recalled. If you would remember, the prime minister was out of the country. Someone had him record a video where he said that it's not going to happen now. They're not going to put the burden on the taxpayer. So the fuel charge, which by law is required to be a complete pass-through that the consumer pays for, stayed magically as oil prices skyrocketed at 10.5 cents per kilowatt hour. How is that possible, you say, Juan? When they're doing the hedge, they establish what's called an over-under account. So whatever they collect over what they're paying in fuel costs, they can keep it in the account. Whatever they collect under what they're paying for in fuel costs, they can put that on the account and say, we can balance it later. So what was happening was, apparently, according to Siobhan Cambridge, in part anyway, was that BPL was able to use the hedge facility that they eventually approved. Remember, they keep telling you the hedge is in place. I don't know what you're talking about. The hedge is in place, right? I don't know what you're meaning. How could you say the hedge is not in place? Remember, Michael Pintar kept asking, is the hedge in place? So what Siobhan Cambridge says, the hedge was in place, but it covered 40% of the fuel, all right? You have not detailed anything about what type of fuel you're purchasing. Officers came today and talked about the boiler wasn't working for the Wärtsilä plant. The $100 million power plant. The boiler ain't working. That sounds like, you ever seen one of those movies where like someone spills a coffee on a computer keyboard and then it causes an entire blackout in the city? Like that sounds like what that is. Oh, the boiler didn't work. So we got to pay increased fuel prices for the next 12 months. Davis said 12 to 18 now. So what's happening is that Donovan Moxie, the former chairman of BPL, had estimated in my conversations with him, and I don't mind saying that I've spoken with him about this, estimated that in February, when they put that statement out, there was probably a $50 million hole that they were in with the over-under account. And the only way that that could be paid for was through subsidization by the government of the Bahamas. Now, remember, nobody told you the government was subsidizing these fuel costs this whole time. It still stayed at 10.5 cents per kilowatt hour. Meantime, BPL, that over-under account, all right, the red's growing and growing and growing. If it's $50 million in February. So yesterday we heard the financial secretary and the CEO of BPL say that they couldn't even say how much. This is how deep it is. They can tell you how much you got to pay now, but they can't say how much exactly the government paid to keep the fuel, to subsidize BPL, to keep that fuel charge at 10.5 cents per kilowatt hour, right? They can tell you exactly what you can pay for the next 12 months, but they can't tell you what the government gave to BPL outside of tens of millions of dollars. We asked Siobhan Cambridge, who's a very experienced person in the power industry, if the delay of not raising the fuel charge made things worse. All right, here's what he said. I want to quote him. He said, once you delay, is that commercial music? We're going to commercial? No, we're good? Okay. He said, sorry, Siobhan Cambridge, we asked him if a 7-month delay, remember this was February 28th, they announced it. March 1st, the prime minister released his video saying they're not going to do it. So 7 months later, here we are, all right? Most of your electricity bills will nearly triple here by, what is it, June 1st, 2023? Siobhan Cambridge says, once you delay, you accumulate. He's talking about the over-under account, right? The debt's continuing to pile up. The government's subsidizing it. He says, once you delay, you accumulate. So there was an accumulation of arrears which we're now seeking to recover through the glide path strategy. They're seeking to recover the money that the government gave to them by raising your power bills. Okay? This is so bad that they're going to have to change the law, the way the regulations work, in order to accommodate what they're doing with the fuel charge. There's nowhere in law that it works how they're saying it's going to work. So they have to change. Alfred Sears acknowledged they will have to change the law, the regulations, all right, to the Electricity Act. So I'll deal with your text messages. I say all that to say, after I talked about what happened during the Christie administration, after I talked about what happened during the Ingram administration, after I talked about what happened during the next Christie administration, after I talked about what happened during the Minnis administration, and now we're into the Davis administration, and your power bills are going up again because, say it with me, BPL's broke. BPL's near insolvent. BPL can't pay its bills. BPL can't service its own debt. And BPL can't keep the lights on. So after all that, and we're here today, yesterday, singing the same song from government officials, I have to ask you and all our government officials, why on earth should we take at face value and trust anything you tell us about BPL? Because the only thing that remains consistent with BPL that you speak to us about is when we have to pay. When you tell us the prices are going up, we can take that to the bank. When you tell me that you have a plan to make sure BPL isn't broke, isn't near insolvent, why would I ever believe you about that? Let's do your text messages. We're straight with the breaks, right? Okay, good. Let's do your text messages. Why should I believe you? After all, and this is the brief version, all right? You should have been to the town meetings back in 08, 09. That's before BPL existed. Why should we believe what you're talking about? Why should we believe you guys have some sort of plan that makes sense that's going to work? Who do you think is buying this? Other than people who are wearing their particular FNM PLP cheerleader outfit. I don't take you seriously on BPL. I do not. You will have to show me. I'm so sorry. I don't take you seriously when you tell me you have a plan to fix it. You guys, all of you, and you all got to wear it, have thrown hundreds of millions of dollars behind this thing and still can't keep the lights on. You tell me what they pay in Cayman. I don't live in Cayman, but it's good to know the frame of reference. You tell me what they pay in Jamaica. I don't live in Jamaica. I don't pay taxes in Jamaica. I don't vote in Jamaica. You tell me what they're paying in Turks. This is not the Turks and Caicos Islands. Are there unique circumstances due to our archipelagic nature that make BPL a particular challenge? Yes. But don't expect anyone to believe that you can fix it after all this time. You just don't have credibility on it. I once made a reference years ago that you may find offensive, but I believe is still apt today. When I hear the PLP and the FNM bantering back and forth about how to fix BPL, what I see in my mind are two Bush mechanics talking about how to fix a spaceship. I think you're totally out of your depth. I don't think you guys should be running the power plant. It is what it is. But you sound like Bush mechanics talking about how to fix the spaceship Enterprise. Or even a NASA spaceship. Or hell, SpaceX, an unmanned rocket. That's how you sound. You got no credibility. I'm sorry, let me get to your text messages. And you're going to get mad at me, but tell me I lie about all that's occurred. So say, one, we don't have to recreate the wheel. All we have to do is copy the Hawaiian plan where they put solar panels on top of every roof. Now their power plant doesn't have to work hard at all. That's an idea. Making sure that people can generate their own electricity and even put electricity back into the system. McCartney, Jesus is coming soon, and the lights will still be out, whether they're BEC or BPM. All right, until that day, until the master returns, let's try to make it make sense. So just a little rain, and we experience various power failures. After spending millions, we're still like one big shantytown trying to rid itself of smaller ones. It says, run which SpaceX, the one with Steve Carell in charge? No. No, I'm talking about Elon Musk. Why? So it sounds like the plan was to sign as many contracts as possible. Who gets the finder's fee? Says, just tuning in, so not sure if you covered this, but did you ever get a satisfactory answer from the PLP, BPL about why they discontinued the hedging? If you didn't, will you continue to pursue? I will. I'll ask them, and they can feel free to come on. Love for someone to explain to me. What do you mean that you can't burn heavy fuel oil in the Wärtsilä engines? The brand new? What? You don't have a boiler, you say? This says, based on your story yesterday, the highway, other than road debris ambushes, might be safer than park gate. LOL. Aspirin versus Aspen still got me rolling. That's a true story. I am not lying about that. All right. And say the light's on now, bro. Yeah, you guys, for now. For now, right? I can't take that from you. They on today. They on today. Praise God, like Howard would say. It says, every year for decades, we know during the summertime, we would have to deal with load shedding, which is ridiculous. Why can't we pass legislation where the government makes it easier for persons to buy solar systems for their homes, businesses, and excess power generated could be sent back to the grid, alleviating the load off of BPL and simultaneously cutting costs. Yeah, we don't have time today, but we could get into how they could help with power. And listen, I'm no power generation expert. I'm no power generation expert, okay? I understand how BPL works, and I understand how our energy sector works. Every single minute detail of it, no, I'll admit that. But I do understand. Okay, we got to get out of here. So I know you're talking about BPL. I'm interested in a story in The Guardian about a computer program didn't cut it, led to the Bahamas being listed by the EU. Yeah. I understand that's true, as frightening as that is. Afternoon, OPEC just announced a reduction in production. Do you think this is one of the reasons for the snap announcement or the policy as a whole? You know, I'm not sure. I think the reason is the government just cannot afford to keep pumping money into BPL. That they've done this, that Brave Davis, who's remained prior to yesterday, quite popular in the public, who earlier this year said he don't want to put no more on the Bahamian people, that they've done this should allow you some insight into how dire this situation must be. Am I sitting there saying BPL ain't broke? No, I'm not. All right? But imagine how dire this must be that Brave Davis is doing this. Anyway, we got to go. Lang's up next. Sorry I couldn't get to all your comments, questions, text messages, and calls. I just wanted to get this out so that you can you can check all this that I stated as actual data points. And feel free to fact check me on it. But I just wanted you to understand what's happening. I want our government officials to understand why they don't have credibility on BPL. All right? We got to get out of here. Lang's up next with Z Live Off the Record. You guys take care. Have a great day, Bahamas. We'll be right back.